Good morning. This is State Representative Dave Pinto, the chair of the House Early Childhood Finance and Policy Division, and I'm calling this meeting of the division to order. And welcome to members and staff, as well as members of the public who are watching us on YouTube, on the Facebook Live, or on the House page. Reminder that we're conducting this hearing this morning and pursuant to House Rule 10.01, which allows for remote hearings. And just remember of a couple of other kind of logistical things. We're going to ask members and anybody else speaking to keep their microphones muted, except for when they're speaking, just to preserve the audio quality. Members are going to be recognized by pressing the raise hand feature. And in some of our other meetings, we've had other ways too, and we'll make sure that we can connect with each other. But that'll sort of be our standard approach. Committee packets and information have been sent out to committee members and folks on our listserv. Members of the public who are watching this, just a reminder that our Early Childhood Committee has a webpage, and you can go there, and it has all the materials in the packet as well for you to download and take a look at. And if anybody in the public wants to submit any information, ask any question or submit comments, you can do so to our committee administrator, Alyssa Fritz, and her email address is alyssa.fritz@house.mn. That's A-L-Y-S-S-A, alyssa.fritz, F-R-I-T-Z, at house.mn. And so with that, we will have the clerk take the roll. So, Madam Clerk, if you can do so. And members, a reminder to unmute yourself each time you speak.
Representative Pinto, Chair.
Present.
Representative Katizawatun, Vice Chair.
Present.
Representative Franson.
Present.
Representative Bonner.
Present.
Representative Damath.
Present.
Representative Heinzman.
I'm here.
Representative Morrison.
Present.
Representative Pryor.
Present.
Representative Wasilek.
Present.
Representative West.
Present.
So we do have a quorum, and so our next order of business is to have a motion to approve the minutes of the April 23rd meeting. And so I'll ask Representative Katizawatun if you would be willing to move adoption of those minutes.
So moved, Mr. Chair.
Okay. So then, and a reminder, members, that members of the public, too, that a copy of the minutes are in the meeting packet and on our committee website. Are there any additions or corrections to those minutes of April 23rd? I'll wait a minute to just see if we have anything. Okay, and so hearing none, all in favor of approval of the minutes of the April 23rd meeting, remind you have to unmute yourself, say aye.
Aye.
Okay, and then anybody opposed to approval of minutes? I'm hearing none, so with that, the motion passes and the minutes are approved. Thank you, and so now our sole item of business today on our agenda is House File 3737, and members may recall we've had this bill up a couple times as we've been kind of working our way through it. The bill's author, Representative Pryor, is on the committee and here, and so Representative Pryor, just to start, would you like to move your bill to recommend it be placed on the general register?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to move House File 3737, be recommended for placement on the general register.
Okay, thank you. And actually, just a pause, maybe it occurs to me, I suppose that maybe I laid that on the table previously. So actually, perhaps the proper thing now that I think about it is actually for me to simply take it back off the table. So my apologies to that, members. And maybe Representative Pryor.
I withdraw my motion.
Yeah, why don't we do that? I'm hearing some strange background noise, by the way. I'm not sure if that would be in the background of anybody's, but that might be you. Okay,
thank
that
you.
Went away. Good, okay, so what I'm gonna do is take House File 3737 back off the table, so my apologies, everybody. And so, again, I know, Representative Pryor, you've been working on this bill, and so you have a DE5 -2 amendment, author's amendment, to get the bill in the shape that you wish at this point. So why don't we have you move that amendment?
Okay, thank you, Mr. Chair. Yes, I would like to move the DE5 amendment.
Okay, and there is in fact then an A3 secondary amendment as well, which I think is just a technical change. And why don't we? What I'd like to do is see if we can get the bill in the shape you wish, and then we can discuss it. So, can you move the A3 amendment, Representative Pryor?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A3 amendment.
Okay, and can you just say what the A3 amendment is? Well, if you have that.
The A3 amendment was just, it's just a fix in the way that it was drafted. Let's see.
And I can maybe help you, Representative Pryor. My understanding is it's simply there was an incorrect reference to a rule that was discovered following the most recent.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to look in my notes for. Yes, exactly.
No problem. All right. So any additions, any questions or discussion regarding the A3 amendment, just getting the bill in the shape the author wishes? And I'm hearing none, and so all in favor of adoption.
Mr. Chair,
pardon me. Oh, please, yeah.
I'm terribly sorry, but I think that the order on the agenda is to move the DE5 prior to the A3. Does that make sense with your...
And thank you, Dr. Committee Administrator, Ms. Fritz. As this is amending, this would be amending the one line in this amendment, the A3 is, I believe, amending the DE5-2. I think I see your, I think I understand your point, Ms. Fritz. And my, I think we figured out, by the way, all of us, that 8 a.m. is not when folks on this committee are at their best. I think that the chair is certainly included in that. So I think that may well be correct. Ms. Fritz, that we do need to put the DE5-2 on the bill and then fix it with the A3. So my apologies again to everybody. That makes sense. So why don't we do this? So as I say, my preference would be to get the bill in the form the author wishes and in both of these amendments. So we'll take them in the correct order then. So any discussion regarding the DE5-2 amendment, simply to get it in the form the author wishes. And I'm hearing none. And so any, Representative Heintzman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have noticed on my end of the Zoom, which could be a glitch, but maybe Alyssa could look into this, but the record has started and stopped several times. And that could, like I say, just be a glitch that I'm noticing, but it may be something that we need to confirm before we go too much farther.
Thank you very much, Representative Heintzman. I'm not sure if our staff has any sense as to that. I know that I can see the Minnesota House info is still on with us, and it may be that the record that on the Zoom feature is different, and I think it probably is than the one that they're using. But do we have any insight from staff that can help us with this? It certainly is important to be recorded.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I will send a message via email and through the chat with House Public Information. And I just received an email from House Public Information and he does say we're recording. So I think we are okay. I will confirm. But thank you, Representative Heintzman, for raising that.
Yeah, thank you very much. As I say, I suspect what's going on is that the record feature we can see in Zoom is separate than what House Public Information is using, but please, Ms. Fritz, make sure to verify that because we certainly want to have this. I'll be sure this whole meeting is recorded. Yeah. And then are there other discussion at all regarding the author's amendment, the D5-2? I'll just wait just a couple seconds here. Okay, so seeing none, all in favor of adoption of the author's amendment to put the bill in the shape she wishes, the D5-2, say aye.
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 Okay. Any opposed? Okay, so with that, the bill, the DE5-2 is adopted. The motion passes. And so now, Representative Pryor, you're moving the A3 amendment. Is that correct?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move the A3 amendment, which, as we said before, just corrects a reference that in the DE amendment that we just adopted. Thank you.
Thank you. And then any questions or discussion regarding the A3 to do that cleanup? And so not hearing or seeing any, all in favor of adoption of the A3 to put the bill finally in the form the author wishes, please say aye.
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 And then any opposed? And so not hearing any, the motion passes. The A3 is adopted. And then Representative Pryor, now your bill is in the form that you wish. So Representative Pryor, if you can please introduce your bill. And I think that the plan then is to have Ms. Mock walk us through the DE5 as amended. So please, anything you want to say to start?
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, members. So this is a bill that we had heard before we went on pause. Now that we're back in our virtual remote world, it's coming before us again. And I think that it's right now it's a good product of the committee process, which is that you get the discussion going, the conversation going, you get feedback, you get improvement. And I'm looking forward to the walkthrough to make sure that everybody is clear about what we are doing in this bill. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Representative Pryor. And I'll maybe just note before we have Ms. Mock walk through that in a way, this is sort of the second half to the hearing we had last Thursday mm-hmm. on getting federal compliance on rates. That this is getting federal compliance regarding policy, a number of issues of ensuring that substitutes in particular receive training, but others as well in the child care area. It's important that we do this for federal compliance purposes. It's also important we do it for purposes we want to make sure that folks are trained in first aid and other areas. And then there are a number of other pieces as well in this as well that Ms. Mock can walk through. So with that, Representative Pryor, we should move to have Ms. Mock walk through it. Anything else that you wanted to add?
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Okay. Ms. Mock, if you could please walk through the DE5-2 as amended with us. And if you could please, as you do that, just describe each section. And if you could just point out if there are places and where there are places that are required for federal compliance, that would be helpful as well.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Chair. Good morning, everyone. So I'm going to walk through the DE5-2 amendment as amended by the A3 to House File 3737. Representative Pinto said, I will identify the provisions that are for federal compliance as I go through the amendment. So I'll begin with Section 1 on page 1, line 4. This section applies the current law definition of annual or annually to additional sections of statute that contain requirements for family child care programs. So this is not related to federal compliance. Section 2 begins on page 1, line 10, and this modifies the rules governing individuals who supervise a family child care license holder's own child in the license space. So under the changes in this section, such arrangements can only take place with the license holder's consent. And added to the list of individuals who are allowed to supervise the license holder's child in the license space are individuals who are related to the license holder's child and individuals who are household members who the license holder has reported to a county agency. This section is not related to federal compliance. Moving on to Section 3, which begins on page 2, line 6. There's only one change in this section, and it's on line 15. And this section is related to federal compliance. This change on line 15 brings the state into compliance with federal laws by identifying the health and safety training requirements, which substitutes and unsupervised volunteers in child care centers must comply with. Section 4 begins on page 4, line 23. This section is quite long, and it applies to family child care programs. And I'm going to go through each subdivision, most of which have changes designed to comply with federal rules for health and safety training for individuals who care for children in family child care programs. So subdivision 1 provides that adult caregivers and substitutes must be trained in emergency preparedness and allergy prevention and response. And both of those are federal health and safety training requirements. Subdivision 1A is a new subdivision that defines the terms adult caregiver, helper, and substitute for purposes of the section. And I should say that those terms are added throughout the section. This subdivision also clarifies that certain courses specific to child care centers and legal non-licensed providers do not fulfill the requirements of this section. Subdivision 2 begins on page 5, line 27. So to comply with federal law, this subdivision provides that individuals who have taken certain types of coursework must take ongoing training in the area of child development and learning or behavior guidance. This is a change from current law, as these individuals are currently exempt from initial and ongoing training in this area. So they'll remain exempt from the initial training, but they'll have to take ongoing training. This subdivision also identifies the types of training license holders and adult caregivers can take to satisfy the requirement for child growth and learning and behavior guidance training. And this specification, which you'll see on page 6, lines 6 through 13, and lines 26 through 32, is not required for federal compliance. So the specification is not required for federal compliance. Moving on to subdivisions 3 and 4, which begin on page 7, line 1. These modify who in a licensed family child care setting has to have first aid and CPR training. And these modifications bring the state into compliance with federal law governing first aid and CPR training. Subdivisions 5 and 6, beginning on page 8, line 1, specify again who in a licensed family child care setting has to receive training in sudden unexpected infant death and abusive head trauma and in child passenger restraint systems, to bring the state into compliance with federal law governing these health and safety topics. Subdivision 7, page 9, starting on line 28, specifies who in the licensed family child care setting has to complete 16 hours of ongoing training each year, again, to comply with federal law. There are no changes in subdivision 8. Subdivision 9 begins on page 11, line 10. And this subdivision identifies health and safety topics that must be included in courses required for license holders and adult caregivers. And all the topics that are identified here are required under federal rules. This subdivision also requires that substitutes complete a 4-hour course prior to caring for children and every 3 years thereafter. That includes all health and safety topics required under federal law. And this subdivision also identifies courses that could satisfy these requirements, but this specificity, which is in lines 2 to 4 on page 12, is not required for federal compliance. There aren't any changes to subdivision 10 or 11. So that brings us to section 5, which starts on page 12, line 22. This section is not related to federal compliance. Under this section, the Commissioner of Human Services is directed to evaluate whether family child care licenses should be automatically renewed. And if the commissioner determines that they should, the commissioner is directed to propose legislation for the 2021 session. And that is the DE5-2.
Thank you very much, Ms. Mock. Just a logistical note, folks, that we've heard from Barry LeGrave with House Public Information has confirmed that everything is being recorded as normal. And I thank Representative Huntsman again for raising that, because that's obviously a really important point for transparency, but he's confirmed that that is the case. And then, Representative Pryor, do you have any testifiers? I think you've got folks sort of available for questions, but what is the status of that?
That is correct. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do not have testifiers at this point, but certainly we have people available for question, as well as myself and others on the committee.
Okay, thank you. And then I know that we've had a member of the public who's signed up to testify. So Ms. Cunningham, we will get you unmuted, or you can have yourself be unmuted, and then please identify yourself for the record when you're ready, and then please proceed with your testimony.
Thank you. I'm Cindy Cunningham. I've been a licensed child care provider for 24 years, and trying to learn Zoom is a whole new thing, not my usual wheelhouse, but thank you for doing it this way. I'm the public policy chair for McPinn. I have testified on this before, but I just wanted to do a couple things. One is in major support for this bill, and also to say that McPinn is very grateful for the work that this committee and all legislators are doing during this time to support essential workers and family child care providers and all child care providers. It's always challenging what your job is, but under these life changes, including your own personal ones, I don't know who's in a camper, it's been heroic. So thank you very much. Coming into compliance with the federal block grant is critical for both families and parents and for the providers. It will be nothing less than incredibly critical after we get through the COVID-19. Family child care as an industry doesn't seem to accept change readily, and we've had a lot of it, and I've spoken about that before, that these changes in the way that they're being presented and the way they've been worked out will be easily done with the DHS trainings that have been compiled and put forth. We do have, just to comment, want to assure that it is made available online, mm-hmm. and given the 1 year of implementation that has been previously given to us for the technical assistance. The one piece at the very beginning that's not on compliance about the parent is critical, because there has been confusion over whether a spouse or parent of the provider can come and take their child to another. So it might seem trivial, but it is incredibly important to compliance with county workers and their providers. So we really appreciate your work and your efforts in all of these things. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Cunningham, for your testimony. So we do not have any other anyone else in the public signed up to testify. So with that, we'll move to member questions or discussion, and we'll give a minute for that, because it can take just a minute for folks to identify themselves, et cetera.
Mr. Chair, I raised my hand, but I don't know if
you did. Representative Heitzman, there it takes a minute for all to go through, so let's just do it. Representative Heitzman, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't have her name right in front of me, but she walked us through the bill on lines 6.25 to shoots. I'm not sure, but starting at 6.25. There was an element that I thought she identified as non-required, and I would just like a better understanding of why we're putting it in the bill if it's not required. There's probably a good reason, but if we could clarify, that would help.
Yeah, certainly. Why don't we first clarify? So it was Ms. Mock who walked us through the bill, who knew with House Research this year with us. And so why don't we take it in that order? So first, Ms. Mock, if you can just sort of repeat what you said regarding that, starting at line 6.25. So we'll at least clarify that, and then we'll have the bill's author just talk about the decision process.
So, yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Line 6.25 and the first part of 6.26, this is the language that says the license holder and adult caregivers must annually take at least 2 hours of child development and learning or behavior guidance training. This actually is... it looks new, but it is not. It was just moved from a different part of this section that was, or subdivision that was struck. So that is not new language or a new requirement. The part that I said was not related to federal compliance is that second half of line 6.26 through line 6.32. And this language just identifies specific types of training that can, or specific types of courses that can fulfill the training requirements. And this level of detail isn't required for federal compliance.
And then maybe Representative Pryor, if you can then respond to the question about why include some pieces here that are not required by federal compliance, or what the reasoning was for this, and then we'll go back to Representative Heitzman. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So it's actually the feedback is saying that the more clear we are about how to fulfill the federal requirement of doing this ongoing training, the more useful it is. So there's different ways of referencing it. Some of it is saying specifically these are the courses that are provided by DHS, but it's also saying that there's other ways of meeting the requirements. So it's just to keep expanding and put it in different places, where people can go to finish their, to fulfill this training that is a federal requirement to do training, but then how to do it, where to get it, that's something that the state needs to work on. So that's why we put it here to try to make it as clear as possible. It's our intent.
Representative Heitzman.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It does sound like it's comfort language for the stakeholders, so I appreciate that the bill author was willing to work on that with them. Just a final comment, I guess. If I have my count correct, I think, Mr. Chair, this is the sixth version of this bill that we've seen so far. And I want to really thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving us the time to work through this, because if I'm remembering correctly, where I think it was almost 2 months ago, maybe more, that we first saw a bill that was described to us by DHS as a federal compliance bill. And slowly but surely, we've begun the process and worked through the process, making sure that we were only moving forward with language that was, like we just described a few moments ago, Representative Pryor was walking through comfort language for providers, which I think is great if we're going to try to produce some legislation that gets to the heart of the issues that they're facing, and then also trying to comply with federal rules. So, Mr. Chair, I think you deserve a lot of credit for giving us the time to walk through this over the course of, like I said, a number of months, and cutting it back until we're at that point where I think we have a lot more agreement relative to this issue of federal compliance, and getting to that point where I think we can probably all support this. So we just wanted to put that on the record.
Thank you, Representative Heintzman. And I think there's a lot of thanks to go around. I'll save that for the end, but my folks on the committee and Representative Pryor and a number of other folks as well. But I know Representative Franson wants to get in on this. So Representative Franson.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. And I want to echo the sentiments of Representative Heintzman. And I want to thank Representative Pryor for being so willing to listen to all the sides and slow down to make a good bill, one that's, of course, not 100% are going to be happy with, but it's a lot better than where we were at the beginning. And I want to thank you too, Mr. Chair, for allowing that time and allowing us to get to this point today.
Thank you, Representative Franson. And I guess I will just note that I'm grateful to definitely Representative Pryor as well for sticking with this over. I think this is this is certainly our third hearing on this bill, at least. And so I know it was really important to her to listen to everybody and work with everybody, and grateful to Representative Franson, Representative Heintzman, and the minority on the committee for working through this with us. I guess as long as we're doing some thank yous, I want to make sure to note that Beth Fraser at DHS and the team that she's been working with have worked enormously hard on this over time. And I really appreciate the work that they've put in as well. So any other member questions or discussion at all? And not hearing anything or not seeing anything either, we'll give Representative Pryor, as usual, bill's author, the last word. Representative Pryor.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you for committee members. Also, thank you for our research staff, both partisan and nonpartisan, and committee administrators, who have done so much work to bring this forward. But I think, you know, I'm going to speak for all of us when we say what we really thank is our providers and the work that they're doing now, and then they will continue to do. And that is what unites all of us, is that we're trying to support their work. We respect their profession. And we know that, as has been said by, I think it was Representative Heintzman, this is critical, and it's a critical part of our infrastructure, our workforce infrastructure, and going forward. But we also know it's just a critical part of our community right now is having high quality child care, and that we know that our home-based family child care is the backbone of our system. And so we know that whatever time we spent on this is worth it, because we want to get it right, and we want to go forward in the strongest way possible as we get through these next few months. So thank you, Mr. Chair, for your work on this. I truly appreciate it, and I'm honored to be the bill author.
And Representative Pryor, that is well put. Gratitude to our child care providers, absolutely. And let's all commit to continuing to support them. So with that, members, Representative Pryor renews her motion that House File 3737, as amended, be recommended for placement on the general register. All in favor of that motion, please say aye.
Aye.
I'll wait just a second. And then any opposed, please say no. And so not hearing anything, with that, the motion passes. 3737 as amended is on its way to the general register. Much gratitude to all kinds of folks for their work on this. Representative Heintzman, looks like you had something that you wanted to say. Or maybe not. Okay. The thing flashed over to you. Members, I'll just note that I'm not certain what the path forward is in these final weeks of session and whether we will have another hearing or not. We will certainly keep in touch with you and let you know right away, and members of the public as well will post that information. If you have questions, please reach out to me. Thank you again for your work on this bill and everything else we've been working on. And thank you so much. So with that, the meeting is adjourned.